So we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 5, if you want to open your Bibles up to Daniel chapter 5. I'm also going to retell the story, so you feel free to just listen to the story, and then we can refer back to your Bibles later if you want, or follow along with your Bibles as well. Daniel chapter 5. So I'm going to be telling a story from the NIRV version, so it might not be exactly word for word with what you got in front of you, but we'll see how we go. So I'm going to pray, and then let's look at this. Father God, we thank you for your word, which you have given to us. Thank you that you are a God that speaks, and may you speak to us now through your word. And please help me to speak faithfully and truthfully and accurately from your word. And I pray that you'll soften our hearts to receive your word and to hear it and to put it into practice and to keep living for Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. So Belshazzar decided to have a great banquet for all his nobles. King Belshazzar, he invited 1,000 of his nobles to his banquet. And they drank wine together. Then King Belshazzar gave an order. He said to his servants, "Go and get the gold and silver cups that were taken from Jerusalem." So the servants went and got these cups. They brought them back. And the king and the nobles and his wives and his concubines, they all drank wine from these cups. And as they did so, they worshipped their gods. Gods made of gold, silver, bronze, wood, iron, and stone. Now, as they were doing this, fingers of a hand appeared on the palace wall and started to write something. The king stood and watched. He was terrified. His face went pale. His legs went weak, and his knees began to knock together. And so he called all his wise men, those who get knowledge by using magic, and those that study the heavens. He had them summoned to him, and he said to them, "Can you tell me what this means? And if you do, you'll be made the third highest in all of Babylon. You'll be given a purple robe and a gold chain will be put around your neck." However, the wise men could not interpret what the fingers had written. And so the king became even more terrified. His face went even more pale, and his nobles, they were bewildered. Now the queen heard the king talking with the nobles in the dining hall. So the queen went to the king and said, "King Belshazzar, king, live forever. Do not be so afraid. Do not be so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has wisdom and understanding and good sense, just like the gods. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, made him chief over those who study magic, chief over those who study the heavens. He did this because he knew what this man could do. His name is Daniel, but your father called him Belshazzar. He has wisdom and understanding. He can interpret dreams. He can solve riddles and difficult problems. He will be able to tell you what this writing means. So the king had Daniel summoned to him. "Are you Daniel?" he said. "Are you one of the prisoners that my dad took from Jerusalem? I've heard that you have wisdom and understanding and good sense like the gods, that the spirit of the gods is in you. You have special wisdom. Now, can you tell me what this means?" Because the wise men could not. "And if you do, you'll be given a purple robe, a gold chain will be put around your neck, and you'll be made the third highest in all of Babylon." Daniel replied to the king, "You can keep your gifts and give the rewards to someone else. But I will tell you what this means. Your Majesty, the Lord your God was good to your father, King Nebuchadnezzar. He gave him authority and glory and greatness and honor. The king could kill anyone he wanted. He could spare anyone he wanted to spare. He could put into position anyone he wanted to put into position. And anyone who tried to attack him, he could overcome them. Everybody feared the king. All nations, all languages. But your father, the king, became proud and arrogant. So the Lord stripped him of his glory and greatness. And he became like an animal in his mind. He was sent to live with the donkeys and eat grass like a wild ox. And the dew of heaven fell upon him. And he remained this way until he recognized that the God, the Lord God, is king over all nations and the earth, and that he can appoint anyone in power. But King Belshazzar, you already knew all this. Yet you too continue in this same pride. You too have chosen to defy the Lord God. You went and got the gold and silver cups that were taken from Jerusalem and chose to drink wine from them. And as you did this, you worshipped your gods, gods made of gold and silver and bronze and iron and stone and wood. And you drank wine from them with your nobles and wives and concubines. I will now tell you what this means. Mene, mene, tekel, parsons. Mene means your reign will now come to an end. Tekel means that you have been weighed on God's scales and you have come up short. And parsons means that your kingdom will be taken from you and given to another. Then King Belshazzar commanded that Daniel be given a purple robe and a gold chain put around his neck. And he was made the third highest in all of Babylon. However, that night, King Belshazzar was slain, and his kingdom was handed over to another. Please pray with me again. Father, we again thank you for your word. And yeah, we thank you for amazing stories in the Bible. we should pay attention to all your word and help us to pay attention to this story this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's the context of Daniel? What is going on in the book of Daniel? Well, we know from the other week that Judah, the nation that Daniel lived in, well, they were deliberately going against God. They were sinning and they didn't care. And they were warned again and again and again by the prophets, but they didn't listen to the prophets. And God said that he will send judgment upon them and they will be taken as prisoners from this foreign land, they'll be taken as prisoners to a foreign land called Babylon. Babylon was the nation that the Lord chose to execute judgment upon Judah. And so prisoners were taken. But the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, wanted to take some of the best young men for himself and train them to serve in his court. Men like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And after the training, King Nebuchadnezzar found no one equal to Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. God had gifted them with incredible wisdom and understanding. And we also learnt last week that Daniel would not, and his three friends would not compromise. They would not eat the king's food, which made them stand out from everyone else. So we get to this story this evening. We want to think about, well, what stood out in this story, and then what can we take home? So a few things that stood out to me in this story. First of all is King Belshazzar's pride. This man is very proud. This man is very arrogant. In fact, you could say he's a bit of a show-off, isn't he? Invites 1,000 of his nobles, having this huge party with them. You can only imagine the sorts of things that are going on at this drunkard party, couldn't you? And they're arrogant because the Babylonians thought they were impenetrable. They had massive walls. They had enough food in their city so they could survive for 20 years, food and water. If armies surrounded their walls, they thought they were untouchable. Very proud, very arrogant. And not only this, they obviously worship their gods. Man-made gods. The story is very clear about that. Gods that were made by gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Now, the most scary thing in this, well, that's not the most, but a very scary thing, is that God sent these fingers to write on the wall. Now, I'm not into watching horror movies because they scare me. But this seems like something out of a horror movie, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. And it's not really explained why God does it this way. But it does create a healthy fear of God. And perhaps that is the reason. To fear the Lord. And Belshazzar, he's terrified. He's pale. His knees are shaking together. The most powerful person, king in the world at the time, is now trembling like a little boy. But then Daniel is introduced to the story, isn't he? And Daniel obviously has a good reputation, or at least the queen knows about Daniel's reputation. Now, what I think's going on here is that when King Belshazzar became king, he sort of got rid of all his dad's advisors. Daniel perhaps pushed a bit to the side. But now Daniel's brought back into the picture. Daniel is known for his wisdom and understanding by the queen. And the king maybe just didn't know who Daniel was, but I'm assuming that he did, but just didn't call on him when needed at first. And Daniel did not want the king's rewards and gifts, did he, in the story? We'll get to that more in a moment. And we also get a reflection of what actually happened to King Nebuchadnezzar in this story. In the previous chapters, he'd become extremely proud, extremely arrogant. He thought he'd done it all himself, when in fact it was God that had given him this power. And he actually became literally like an animal, had the mind of an animal, and was banished for 7 years and ate grass like an animal until he was humbled before the Lord God Almighty. He was stripped of his glory. And then we get to these words. Mene, mene, tekel, parsons. It's judgment on King Belshazzar and on the Babylonian kingdom. His reign will come to an end. Ironically, the queen says, King Belshazzar, king, live forever. Well, he's not a god. God is God, and his rule will come to an end. Just like all of us will not live forever as well. Tekel, he was weighed on God's scales and came up short. Now, all of us know, don't we, already, that if we are weighed on God's scales, we too are going to come up short, aren't we? But when we're weighed on Jesus' scales, it's a completely different story, isn't it? In Jesus, we are forgiven and we have the righteousness of God. And Parson, his kingdom will be taken over by another. The Persians and the Medes will take over the kingdom the very next day, that night. And amazingly in history, this great and powerful so-called impenetrable kingdom is actually destroyed within 24 hours. This great military thing happens where their enemies find a way in through the water canal, get inside the city, and I'm assuming they're the ones that put the king to death, and they took over the empire in the next 24 hours. Because the very next chapter, there's a new king in charge, and we'll get to that next week. So they're not impenetrable. They are completely destroyed. That's the end of the Babylonian Empire. Do you have something to say, Jack? Yeah.
And that's the word that means your life is short.
Yeah.
So it's like your life is short. Your life is short. You're going to die. You're going to die tomorrow.
That's it, isn't it? There's an urgency.
And he reinforces that.
Yeah.
Because he puts David in the robes, even though David said, give the robes to someone else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks for pointing that out, Jack. Isn't that amazing? Yep, wants to get that point across. And even though Daniel said, no, I don't want this, he commanded that he would have this stuff. Thanks, Jack. So some things to think about, some things to take home. I'll give you the three things and I'll explain them each by each. Pride comes before the fall. Daniel had no pride in himself, but put his trust in God, and then we looked to the humble one who was stripped of his glory. We all know, don't we? Pride comes before the fall. It was true for Belshazzar. I guess we all can be guilty of a little bit of pride, can't we? How do you know that you're a proud person? Well, perhaps one indication is you're just somebody who can never be wrong. You always have to be right, no matter what. You have to always be one up on others. But pride comes before the fall. Well, perhaps you're not proud, but you're a show-off as well. Life's all about you. Well, we know that's not true. You're not the center of the universe. God is the center of the universe. And we see here that Daniel is the complete opposite of Belshazzar. If anyone has an excuse or reason to be proud, it's Daniel, isn't it? He has wisdom, he has understanding, he has special knowledge, but he's not proud. He's humble before the Lord and uses his gifts to serve the Lord and do his duty. And I guess I just want to share, I guess, just how much I think I am like Belshazzar, and perhaps you are like Belshazzar as well. Now, I remember for me, when I first became a Christian, I was actually a bit of a car park Christian. And what I mean by that was I'd turn up to church and I'd worship God, I'd hang out with Christian people, and then I'd finish church and I'd go to the pub with my mates and get drunk. And that's what I did when I was 18 years old for about a year. I was a car park Christian. And Belshazzar, he defied the living God. He deliberately went against God. He knew what he was doing. And that's exactly what I was doing as well. I was defying the living God. I was deliberately going against him. Turning up in the church car park, switching on as a Christian, and then leaving and doing the exact opposite. I was just like Belshazzar in that way. Or maybe you're like Belshazzar in a completely different way. Maybe you're not out getting drunk during the week. But maybe you're just completely apathetic about God during the week. You're here at church, but then during the week you can't even, you can barely say a prayer to God or lift a finger for God. But then you get here to church and you switched on for God again. And then you go home and God's irrelevant throughout the week. And just like getting drunk is saying you're a Christian and getting drunk is being deliberate defiance against the Lord, well, living a life like that is also defiance against God as well. If you just come into church but then actually truly not living for him throughout the week. It's all pride. It's all saying to God, I think I know better than you. And so we don't want to be like that. And therefore, Daniel is a great example, isn't he? He is somebody who consistently lived for God. Someone who built a reputation for living for God. As we learnt last week, Daniel outlived Babylon. He outlived King Nebuchadnezzar. He was there for the entire 70 years. And then we get to this final thing I want to say tonight. We look to the one who was stripped of his glory. We learn about King Nebuchadnezzar and what happened to him. The Bible says that he was stripped of his glory, stripped of his greatness because he was proud and he was arrogant. But then there's someone else in the Bible too, isn't there? Who wasn't proud, who wasn't arrogant, who was sinless. Yet he was stripped, literally, he was stripped of his glory, stripped of his greatness for us. To take the penalty for our sins. And so there is hope for us tonight when we live like Belshazzar and when we fail to live like Daniel. Well, we do, we look to Jesus, don't we? The one who was stripped for us. Let me pray.